not sure if that's 100% accurate, but it's warmed up a little bit already. So we're glad to see you here, and hopefully everybody's feeling, if not 100%, very nearly so. So welcome. The announcements are in your bulletin. Next week we'll be having our annual meeting. Pastor will return to work this week, hopefully. He's planning on it. He's been getting steadily better. I don't know if there's any more Mary wants to say about that, but he's going to have some diagnostic tests this week, but he's doing better. Okay. This morning you can join us downstairs for coffee after church, but we won't be having covenant clusters. And then if you have reports that need to be turned in, if you would get those to Gail as soon as possible. Today was the deadline, so some of us haven't done that quite yet. I don't think there's any other announcements. It's kind of quiet in the winter here now. If you would stand, please, for the call to worship. This day is holy to our God. Do not mourn or weep.
The Spirit of the Holy One is upon us to bring good news to the poor.
This day is holy to our God, for the joy of the Holy One is our strength.
God sends us to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and justice to the oppressed.
On this day, may the scripture be fulfilled in our hearing. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasant to you, Holy One, our rock and our redeemer. And hymn number 8, How Great Thou Art.
Thou art, how great Thou art.
shall bow in humble adoration
and then proclaim,
my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed us for the glory of God. That's from Romans 15, 5 through 7. You may be seated. Gail will share with us the scripture for the morning.
Before I start reading, the page number for Nehemiah is 364, not 46. Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They have no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out unto all the earth. From their words to the end of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other, nothing to deprive it of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes, and fear to the Lord. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, much purer than gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who discerns their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant from us, from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of transgressions. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And then from Nehemiah chapter 8, it'll be verses 1 through 3, 5 and 6, and then 8 through 10. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the books of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the books of the law. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them, This is the day is holy to the Lord God. Do not mourn or weep, for all people have been weeping as they listen to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go and rejoice. Choose food and sweet drink and send some of those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
I appreciate that Pastor has built in the time for reflection after reading the scripture, because so many times I hear something that I didn't hear before, or I'm curious about, and I write down, make a note to look up or something. Because I think the more we read God's word, the more it becomes clear to us or applicable in a certain situation. Because we're always learning. And now from 2 Corinthians, God who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God. The ushers will come forward for our tithes and offerings. Remember when the offering is collected that you can feel free to put notes, prayer requests, or words of praise in the offering plate for pastor to consider when he does his pastoral prayer. So please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity and freedom to come together and worship. We thank you, Lord, for this faithful community of the First Covenant Church that has had a long and lengthy ministry here in the community. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to guide and direct us so that that may continue. We thank you, Lord, for your healing hand on Pastor. We thank you for being with other people who are ill and experiencing difficulty at this time. Please show us how we too can be involved in that ministry. Let us know when there are people who need a helping hand or who need prayer, Lord, so that we can uplift them and encourage them and love them. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for our country. We pray that you will continue to guide us and bless us and work through this pandemic, Lord. And we pray that people will be healed and that people will be healthy and happy and whole. Father, thank you for your great love and blessing over our lives. Thank you that your favor has no end, but it lasts for our entire lifetime. Forgive us for sometimes forgetting that you are intimately acquainted with all of our ways, that you know what concerns us, and that you cover us with a shield. We ask that we would walk in your blessing and goodness today, that your face would shine on us, that you would open the right doors for our lives and for our loved ones, that you would close the wrong doors and protect us from those we need to walk away from. Establish the work of our hands and bring to fulfillment all that you have given us to do in these days. We pray that you would make our way purposeful and our footsteps firm out of your goodness and love. Give us a heart of wisdom to hear your voice and make us strong by your huge favor and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to page 78 in your hymnals, for great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning. And now for the sermon portion of our morning, we are going to complete the Andy Stanley series that we started before Christmas. It's a 6-part series, I think, entitled Who Needs Christmas? So as we're finishing the Christmas season, we're going to see that last video by Andy Stanley.
Of what I call God's going to do it anyway plan. 2,000 years, this is amazing, 2,000 years before the birth of Christ, God spoke to a man named Abram that became Abraham, and he said, Abraham, you don't have any family, you don't have any children, but you're going to have children, and you're going to become a big family, and your family is going to eventually become a nation. And this is, again, this is impossible for us to wrap our minds around. And he said, Abraham, your family that becomes a nation is going to bless every nation in the world. 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus. Now, this made no sense to Abraham because they didn't even really have nations. They just had tribes and big families and family groups. And they didn't bless each other. They stole from each other. They warred with each other. They plundered each other. And God said, from you, Abraham, there's going to be a nation that's going to bless the entire world. In fact, later the prophet Isaiah would say that Israel was created by God to be a light to people like me. And a light to people like most of you, a light to the Gentiles. It's as if God said to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless the world through you in spite of you. Because when you read the story, Abraham didn't always cooperate, but God went ahead anyway. In fact, God used imperfect, unbelieving, misbehaving people all along the way. In fact, every single person that God ever used, from Abraham all the way up to the point of Jesus coming into this world, every one of them believed, and then they disbelieved, they behaved, and they misbehaved, and this was the pattern right up until the birth of Jesus. Interestingly enough, Luke, and you hear me say this all the time, and I'll continue to say it, Luke, and today as I read this story, please don't think about me reading the Bible. I just want you to hear me reading from a document written in the first century by a Greek doctor, he wasn't even Jewish, who was asked by a very wealthy man, hey, I've heard all these stories of Jesus, but they're all out of order. It's all jumbled up for me. I need somebody to put it in order for me. So Luke, who had the bandwidth and who had the education and had the time to investigate these things, put together an orderly account of the life of Jesus. And of course, this orderly account of the life of Jesus was so valuable in the first century. Of course, it was copied and collected and eventually made it into our New Testament. And Luke begins his account of the birth of Jesus not with Mary and Joseph. He actually begins with an unknown priest named Zechariah. And Zechariah lived in the first century during the time that Jesus was born. And Zechariah was one of, and this is hard to get our minds around, he was one of about 20,000 priests who lived in the vicinity of Jerusalem. And they divided them up into smaller groups, and they would be given the task of doing the things at the temple that needed to be done. So you worked a few weeks, then you were off and went back to doing your normal job. And so Luke begins his story of the birth of Jesus with Zechariah, and he says that Zechariah was chosen to go into the Holy of Holies, the most holy of all holy places for ancient Jews, to light incense. Now, I got to give you a little background on this. So what would happen every single day, the priest would sacrifice to God in the morning and sacrifice to God in the afternoon or the early evening outside at the altar, and they would say prayers for the nation of Israel. But before the morning sacrifice and after the afternoon or early evening sacrifice, someone, a priest, would go into the Holy of Holies behind this really thick curtain, the most sacred place of all, where in some sense God dwelled in the presence of the nation, and they would light incense. But there were so many priests, they would choose it by casting lots, or in our world we would say drawing straws. And there were so many priests, it was very unlikely that as a priest you would ever be selected to go into the Holy of Holies to do this. And if you got selected, this was the best day of your life personally, and it was definitely the best day of your life professionally. So on this particular day, Zechariah gets chosen to go into the Holy of Holies. Meanwhile, dozens or perhaps hundreds of other priests are standing outside in the inner room and out in the courtyard waiting for the incense to be lit. And he goes in and he's so excited. We can't even begin to imagine. And oh yeah, by the way, this is also considered a dangerous job because not just anybody could be in the presence of God. And so oftentimes through some periods of Israel's history, they would literally tie a rope to the ankle of the priest when they went in, In case they died back there, nobody was going to go get them. They would just drag them out under the curtain and say, tough, you know, whatever. We won't ever know what happened. Was that natural causes or God was pleased? We don't know. So anyway, Zechariah goes in there, and while he's in there, an angel appears to him and says, Zechariah, you and Elizabeth are going to have a baby. Now, this is amazing because up until this point in their lives, they were childless. But it was also amazing because, well, I'll let him tell you. This was his response to the angel. How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is, and he catches himself. And my wife is well along in years. Smart man. But he has doubt. He can't figure this out. And what happens next, Luke may have meant for this to be somewhat humorous. It's like it's an angel in the Holy of Holies. The angel's like going, what do you mean? How can you be sure of this? And in the next line, I'm Gabriel. Hello, you are standing in the most sacred place on planet Earth in the presence of God, and an angel appears to you, and you need more information? Really? And so the angel says to Zechariah, he says, since you didn't believe and since you doubted and since you just can't go with what has been prophesied over you and told to you, he says, and now you will be silent. And he took his voice away. You'll be silent and not able to speak until this happens, because in spite of your lack of faith, God is going to do it anyway. Because you did not believe my words, but God is going to do it anyway. Which will come true, because in spite of your lack of faith, in spite of your questions, this is what God has been planning to do all along at the appointed time. God's going to use you and bless you in spite of you. Now, meanwhile, he's in there a long time, way too long for what he's supposed to be doing. So they start getting nervous out there. You know, they're thinking, is it time to start, you know, yanking on that rope? What's happened? So eventually he comes out, and Luke found out this is what happened next. When he came out, he could not speak to them, and they realized he had seen a vision, for he kept making signs with his hands and remained unable to speak. And so they're like, wow, something happened back there, and he's lost his voice, and he's seen something. Anyway, he finishes up his little short tour of duty there at the temple. He goes home, and of course, this is all he can think about. And we find out later that when he couldn't speak, he would use a tablet to write on, so he probably wrote this whole thing out for Elizabeth, and she's like, wow, and like, this is just unbelievable. And he keeps thinking, God promised us a child in our old age. And so one day he gives Elizabeth that look, you know, and she's thinking, seriously? I am well along in years. But sure enough, she becomes pregnant. And they are so amazed, and this is so unusual, they don't tell anybody for 5 months. But God was on the move. Ready or not? Believe it or not, here I come, just as I promised 2,000 years before. The story continues. Luke finally gets into the part that we're more familiar with. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, it's so interesting. Luke is so into details. That's why when you read Luke, this is not, you know, once upon a time in a, you know, planet far, far away, or the universe far, far away. This isn't once upon a time there was this. This isn't a story. This is Luke saying, I got all the details I could finally find. In the 6th month of Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. All this detail. And the virgin's name was, any guesses? Yeah, the virgin's name was Mary. Now, isn't this interesting? Did you know this, just to stop and talk about this, that in nations that you'll never visit, in languages you've never heard of, during this season of the year, people gather in big groups and small groups and in homes, and they know this name. There are lots of famous people's names you don't know and have already forgotten, but everybody knows the name Mary. In fact, this is really interesting. Later in Luke's account, Mary wrote a little poem. It might have been part of a diary, or she wrote some lyrics to a song. We don't know if it was ever necessarily put to music. And in this diary, or in this journal entry, or in this poem that she wrote, she says the strangest and perhaps the most arrogant, self-centered thing you can imagine. She says, from now on, she says this about herself, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Mary. I mean, isn't that a little, and no, all generations will call me Mary. How could you say such a big, grandiose thing about yourself? And Mary would say, well, let me tell you how the story continued. The angel went to Mary and he said to her, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you even though you're a nobody. The Lord is with you in a nation that has been forgotten. It's basically the armpit of the Roman Empire. The Lord is with you and it looks like God has forgotten all of his promises to Israel. The Lord is with you, he continues. And Mary was greatly troubled, of course, at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And the reason she wondered what kind of greeting this must be is because she knew the law and the prophets. She knew the stories of the Old Testament that many of us grew up in with. And she knew that sometimes when God appeared, it was good news. And sometimes when an angel spoke, it was good news. And sometimes when God spoke and an angel spoke or a prophet spoke, it was bad news. So she's wondering, what kind of greeting might this be? Have I done something incredibly right? Or have I done something incredibly wrong? But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Why me? Well, it's not really about you, Mary. It wasn't really about Abraham either. This is about God's going to do it anyway plan on behalf of all mankind, the entire human race. The angel continued, you will conceive. And you will give birth to a son. And you were to call him, you don't get to name him yourself. Sorry. You are to give him the name Yeshua, Joshua, our version, Jesus. And he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. This was Jewish terminology. This was secret language that meant Messiah, that God was about to do what the Jews had hoped God would always do, but weren't sure he was going to do. And perhaps maybe we misunderstood the promise to begin with. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. And she's still stuck on the, okay, wait, you're going kind of fast for me. And she asked the question we would all ask, every woman in this room would ask, but how will this be? How will this be, she asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. And the angel responded and said, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, I need to stop and talk about this for just a minute. This is, and please hear me out before you turn me off, this is an unnecessary and very distracting piece of narrative when it comes to the life of Jesus. In fact, the virgin birth doesn't make the story more believable. The virgin birth makes the story less believable. It made it less believable for the Jews because the whole idea of the gods cohabiting with people and women and creating, you know, hybrid kind of people, this was such a pagan idea, the Jews would completely reject it. By this time in history, the Roman culture had pretty much rejected it. And in modern culture, we certainly reject it. So Luke, why would you include this? I mean, the rest of your story is fantastic. In fact, the Gospel of Luke wasn't written to maybe 15 years or so after the resurrection. By the time Luke writes his gospel, the message of Jesus has spread around the Mediterranean rim through the messaging of Paul, the Apostle Paul, and others. I mean, the church is off to a great start. Thousands of people have put their faith in Jesus, not because of a virgin birth, but because of the resurrection. They've got a resurrected rabbi. I mean, Mark doesn't mention this. Peter doesn't mention this. John doesn't mention this. The Apostle Paul doesn't mention this. So Luke, why would you include this? To which Luke would say, because when I investigated the facts, when I talked to the people involved, this is what happened. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For, I love this verse, for no word from God will ever fail. Ready or not, believe it or not, here he comes. And Mary gives the perfect response. A response not based on her ability to understand it all, but a response based on her confidence in the source of the information. She says this. These are famous words. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. And eventually, Zechariah and Elizabeth had a baby, He would become a famous person. They would name him John, but there were a lot of people named John in that culture. He had a nickname. He was John the Baptist. And eventually Mary and Joseph would have a baby, and he would step onto the pages of history as Jesus of Nazareth, because there were many young boys and babies named Yeshua, Joshua, in hopes that perhaps they would be God's Messiah. And Jesus of Nazareth would eventually become known as Jesus, the Savior. And so at Christmas, we're reminded that God is going to do it anyway. And the reason he's going to do it anyway is because he loves you anyway. He loves you when you don't behave. He will love you until you do behave. And God will love you if you never behave. And he will love you when you don't believe. He will love you until you do believe. And your heavenly Father will love you if you never believe. Because believe it or not, ready or not, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And Luke just can't help but give us all the details. He gives us so many historical details, it's like Luke is saying, fact check me, I dare you. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him. He doesn't leave out this detail that would have been so easy to leave out so that the story would be more socially acceptable. Pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and she placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. They got there late. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock that night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they responded like everybody responds when an angel shows up. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. This time I bring you good news that will cause great joy for the entire human race. Today, you lucky guys, today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And he is the Messiah, the Christ of God. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths." Well, that's not much of a sign. "And laying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." This Christmas, peace to you, on whom God's favor rests. Not because of you, perhaps in spite of you. Because ready or not, believe it or not, God sent his Savior into the world to save us from our sins because he loves us. So this Christmas, ready or not, believe it or not, here he comes. Here he comes.
We need time for reflection after the video as well. It's always amazed me. I liked his line that Luke is saying, "Fact check me, I dare you." It's always amazed me that people, when you read about it, don't dispute the Bible's accuracy or its historical significance, but there are people who still aren't ready to accept that Jesus was the Son of God. That's the part that they dispute. And so we have We still have plenty of work to do in sharing the gospel, for sure. If you would turn to hymn number 319, Praise Him, Praise Him. And when you find it, stand for our final hymn this morning. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, sing, oh, earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children to His arms. He carries them all. Goodness, praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, for our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus, the voice is still rebelling. It's hard to sing. Please, after our blessing, join us downstairs for coffee. Let's turn to each other and sing Aaron's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Have a wonderful week.